Robert and June Friedel today, and I'm going to ask them some of their memories that they remember about growing up here in Northville. Now, June hasn't been here as long as Robert, but Robert was born here, weren't you, Robert?
Yes.
Yes. And you have a brother, R.
Yeah, I have my brother's name, Charles.
Uh-huh.
He's running the family business right now.
Yes.
And of course, June and I have two kids.
Uh-huh.
Two children. The oldest one's 25.
Uh-huh.
Foster.
Oh, yeah.
And the younger one is 20.
Mm-hmm.
And he's named Carl.
Yes.
Foster works for the federal government through a contractor.
Uh-huh.
At the Naval Experiment Station in Lexington Park, Maryland.
Oh.
And Carl is a student up at Michigan State right at the present time,
uh-huh,
studying chemical engineering.
Oh, well, nice. And he's not through college yet?
No, he's a junior this year.
I see. Okay. So you have two children, two boys.
Right.
Okay. Now, your mother and dad were who?
Well, Dad was named Charles M. Friedel.
Yes.
Mom was named Velma.
Yes.
And her, of course, maiden name was Velma Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And, she lived on a farm in Salem here, about 9 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
On a 5-mile road between Curtis and Tower Roads.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad, of course, was the son of Grandpa Friedel, who was a tailor in town.
Oh, so that's how the business started then?
That's how the business started.
Okay.
Grandpa had a tailoring shop. He started out above what is now called McKinnon's Restaurant.
Oh.
And then a few years later on, bought the building, which we still own, and is now part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it serves as the ladies' section.
I see. Okay. Uh-huh.
That was Grandpa Friedel's building.
Uh-huh. Now, did you work there when you were grown?
No.
No?
I helped out, but I went to school and studied forestry.
Uh-huh.
And Charles went to Cleary College and studied accounting.
I see.
So he went into the business, and mm-hmm, I went to work for Detroit Edison as a forester initially.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now, you and your brother were both born here?
Yes.
Okay.
Charles is about 60 now. He'll be 60 on the 12th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 57. He was born in Sessions Hospital, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I was born at home.
Oh. And now, where did you live when your two boys were born here?
Well, we lived up on 455 Eaton Drive,
which
is still where Mom and Dad
have their home.
Have their home.
I see. Okay. Now, you went to school here when you were growing up.
Yes.
What school did you go to?
Well, we started here, of course, at the grade school right here on Main Street, which is now the building that houses the Board of Education.
Uh-huh.
And then progressed right on through and went through the old high school, which is the adjacent building, which now is used for the handicapped, the impaired, education impaired,
mm-hmm,
especially in
uh-huh
school.
Uh-huh.
So I graduated from there in 1950.
Mm-hmm. And then you went on to college.
Right.
Okay, now while you were growing up, like the school you went to, were there different rooms for different grades then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Each, in fact, in my class, there were, I think, 66. And we were broken into two groups.
Oh, you had to be that big a class.
Well,
yeah.
That's not big by today's standard, of course, but it was done that way. And they broke us into two groups. Of course, we had a room in the building there. It was our home room,
mm-hmm,
for our particular one.
Mm-hmm.
And there were enough building, there were groups there that, or building rooms that served for the high school.
Do you remember anything when you were in the lower grades that they did differently then than they do today? A lot different, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Discipline was much stronger.
If you got in trouble, what happened?
You could get a licking if you got
really?
Into serious trouble. I got one once. But it wasn't meted out too liberally.
It was fair.
It was fair.
Yeah.
It was fair. But, I can't complain. I had it coming. Yeah, I think I was in about the sixth grade when it happened. But the discipline was there. You didn't monkey around. I think it's probably similar to what some of the parochial schools are now.
Right today.
They're still pretty strict.
What about your lunch? You had your lunch at school or did you come home?
Sometimes I took my lunch, and other times I...
You could eat there?
Yes.
But if you took your lunch, what, there was no cafeteria or anything?
No, they didn't have cafeterias most days. So we used to have a multi-purpose room down in the basement of the grade school, which had a stage, and then a large gathering area. And that served as not only for putting on skits and plays that the kids had did during the years, but it also was a lunchroom.
Brown bag. And if it was real bad weather, you just stayed there and had your lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
It depended. Mom was working, helping Dad in the business. So sometimes she would just pack her lunch, and other times she'd just say, well, come on downtown and, and give us 25 cents or whatever it cost to get a lunch. And then we got to hustle back to school.
Well, now, what do you remember that was there on Main Street or in the neighborhoods that is different today or is torn down and gone? What used to be there that you can remember?
Oh, yeah, the town has changed drastically since I was a boy. Of course, the old buildings that are still there were there when I was young. A lot of the changes have occurred from making parking lots downtown.
Okay.
In fact, where the community right by the high school. Those were all homes right along there, all the way down to Wing Street. And the end building down in the corner of Wing and Main was the City Hall. It was actually a home.
But they used it.
And they tore that down here whenever they built the new City Hall. But it served the purpose for many years. And all along that street were homes. And eventually, the school bought them out as it got need for more facilities. They built the community building there. And then the whole idea, they started that. I remember when I was in the seventh grade, somebody came to us and told us that they were going to have this community building. And we were going to have the benefit of a big swimming pool and this and that and the other thing. Well, as net result, it never happened. It actually didn't get completed until after I graduated. And it never did get a swimming pool, of course. But their intentions were good.
Well, they started planning way back.
And
I guess everything takes that.
Yeah.
For anything big, anyway.
Right.
Now, as you were growing up then, what were some of the activities the young people did to, you know, give them something to do, keep them out of trouble?
I think that's probably one of the biggest differences that we had back then that we don't have today, and that is that most of the recreation young people had mm-hmm. at that time mm-hmm. was centered within the community.
Mm-hmm.
They had a skating, they had the, they'd flood the parking lot in back of the community building for a skating rink.
Oh,
and of course
nice.
We had the mill pond down there that mm-hmm. we used to skate on. So things like that they used to do. And they had, I remember, what we call the canteen, which was in the old scout building there on the corner of Hutton and Dunlap, you know, where Hutton branches mm, off
yeah,
down
yeah.
there. Well, on the corner there where the drive-in bank is was a scout hall. And that used
they
to
had
be,
a hall all to themselves.
Well, the kids, it was for the kids, and Wilson Funk ran that while he was employed by the city as a kind of a recreation director.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran the canteen down there, and the kids would be down there. They had ping pong down in the basement, and I think they had a pool table, too.
Mm-hmm.
But up above, they could dance and play records.
Well, that made it nice.
It was all oriented
yes.
to the community, and you know, very few kids had cars. Mm-hmm. I was lucky. I had an old Model A.
Oh.
And Dad bought it from Mr. Garrity in town. And uh-huh. He paid $125 for it.
Your first
but,
car.
Man, were we lucky.
Oh, yeah.
The, I would say probably there were more than a dozen cars in school at that time.
Right.
Kids had cars. Now, some of the kids that lived out in the townships, and even see, at that time, we were having kids come in from Salem to go to school.
I see.
They'd have cars.
Uh-huh.
And they'd park them all along there.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, nobody had cars, and they just didn't go many places.
Did they have school buses that picked up children then?
Yes.
Well, they did. Okay.
Yeah, there was two buses, I believe. One I know
mm-hmm.
Brought kids in from Novi. See, Novi was part of, they sent their kids here then. And east of what we call the Novi Road, or Russell Novi Road,
mm-hmm.
They used to pick up all the way down to Haggerty Road mm-hmm. and bring them in.
It was a good area.
Say from 10 Mile. And, in fact, we had some kids come to school that someone in my class had lived on the south edge of Wall Lake.
Oh. Back then, that was a long ways.
Yeah, it was a long distance
yeah.
at that time. But
and the roads.
They had, I think they had a couple of buses
uh-huh.
that brought kids in.
Now, like at graduation, where did you hold your graduation when you were in school?
In the old gym up here at the old high school.
And that was only graduation. You didn't have like graduation from grammar school or
no.
intermediate school.
We just went right on through. And
right on through to
when
the
graduated from high school,
school.
That was it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Were there some other places where the young people would get together and sort of, you know, all have fun?
Yeah. Yeah, there was, the boys used to gather down at Kathy and Joe Alessi's. That was a recreation hall where they had billiards.
Mm-hmm.
And they had
now, where was that? Where was
four
that?
Alleys.
Where was that?
That was large building, one-story building that was located between the Union 76 gas station there on the corner of Wing and Main,
mm-hmm.
and it extended all the way down to Harold Bloom's office.
Is it still there?
No, it's been torn down. It's part of a, it's part of the parking facility there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Now, there was one other building just to the east of that. Old meat market many, many years ago. But,
uh-huh.
That's where most of the kids hung out.
Uh-huh.
They used to have a lunch counter there. And
uh-huh.
In fact, I eat all my lunches right there. I'd go down in there every day. I'd have a bowl of soup and a hamburger and a glass of milk. And that was it.
Now, this was high school time.
Yeah, this was high school. And all the way through, they ran a real tough place. They did no monkey business.
Well, that's probably why it was a success.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they wouldn't let any hanky-panky go on at all.
Uh-huh.
They ran the business there for years. After I got through college, June and I went back in there, mm-hmm. and saw Kathy and Joe. Mm-hmm. And and things were changing at that time. So uh-huh. this was in the 50s, uh-huh. the middle 50s, and kids were getting cars.
Yeah.
And everything was changing.
Television
uh-huh. was coming on strong. Uh-huh. And eventually they just sold out and left. Because there were so many other activities for the kids to have.
Okay. Now, June was saying, what was the composition of the different students in your schools then?
Well, most of the kids were white.
Uh-huh.
But we had quite a few from Salem that came to school there.
Mm-hmm.
There were black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they were real nice kids. They mm-hmm. were from good families,
mm-hmm.
Good athletes. Mm-hmm. And I would say they were probably, at that time when I was in school, there were 305 kids in high school uh-huh. at that time, from 9 on up to 12.
Uh-huh.
And there probably were 6 or 7 kids from Salem that were black.
Now, did you have football or
yes.
baseball or?
Yes, we had football, basketball, track, baseball, and I would say that while I was in high school, they started girls' sports. Now that wasn't too common back then.
Uh-huh. So that was
the only physical activity that the girls got, as I remember.
It was gym,
uh-huh. and that was it.
Uh-huh.
Well, they changed that. They started to change that when I was about 7th or 8th grade,
uh-huh.
and they started bringing in softball and other things. We weren't competing with other schools at that uh-huh. time, but they would.
You had the teams.
They had the girls' teams uh-huh. at that time, and they started to change.
Uh-huh.
In fact, that's when they started. They introduced. Football in the 7th and 8th grades while I was there. That started probably when I was a freshman or a sophomore. They all practiced out the field. I remember that because I couldn't play. I had problems with my legs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was manager of the team, the high school team.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, 7th and 8th grade kids, would come down and practice. Down at the park. That's where we do a lot of practicing.
Now, June said you had polio when you were a child.
Yeah, I had it when I was in 9th grade.
9th grade. Yeah, was that when the polio vaccine came out after that?
Oh, yeah, it was long after.
Long after that.
We were married.
It was in the 50s, wasn't it, when it came out?
1957, I think they came out with a vaccine where they put it on a sugar cube.
I remember taking our children and getting
it. That was about 1957.
Yes, yes.
So I had polio long before that.
Long before that. Mm-hmm.
I was lucky, though. I didn't end up in an hour long. All of it basically was affecting my legs.
And can you walk today?
I can today, but
uh-huh.
I had difficulty.
Uh-huh. You had therapy for it, so.
Well, yeah. I had what you call therapy. Dr. Love will come up, and when it hit me, I was just completely out of it. I couldn't walk or couldn't do anything. Couldn't get out of bed.
Oh, dear.
So Dr. Love, no, that's not the woman, but it's her husband,
uh-huh.
used to come up to the house and work on me and work on my legs. Eventually got to the point where I started to get some strength back.
Yeah, was this in the summertime that you
No, this was in the fall.
Oh, in the fall.
Yeah, that was the time for it. Everybody was scared to death back in those days of polio.
Yeah, I remember when we'd go on vacation, my parents.
That was a scourge of the country.
Yes.
And come polio season, everybody was scared.
Now, did that necessitate you staying home, and did you have a teacher come in, or what?
No, I missed several weeks of school.
And then you were able to go?
I went back, and I managed to get through. How I did it, I'll never know. Uh-huh. I think it had an impact on me later on, because learning came hard to me anyway. But I was out for several weeks.
But you did manage to go back to school.
I went back to school. I started, as soon as I got enough strength to go on crutches, I went back to school.
Well, that was great.
Yes. I kept gaining, kept working on it, working on it. And finally, I got to the point where I could throw away the crutches and I could walk.
Now, how long did that take?
Oh, boy. It was spring before I could throw away the crutches.
But even then, you know, that was great. Yes.
I remember that. Oh. It was in the spring that I quit using the crutches.
Uh-huh.
I was lucky because I did recover quite well.
Mm-hmm. Now, your brother didn't pick it up?
No, apparently not.
Isn't that something? Well, now, when did you meet June?
Oh, golly, that's an interesting story.
Oh, boy.
We had a mutual friend that lives up top of the hill, and it was Helen Hayden.
Uh-huh.
I was friends with her husband, Ralph. I guess she figured she was going to be a matchmaker, so she started pushing it.
She introduced
This was after I graduated from college. I was 24 years old, I think.
Oh, you were getting up there, huh?
Yeah, almost made it.
Yeah.
But she kept telling me about this girl that was living with Mr. Hill,
uh-huh.
and his family was working their way through school.
Uh-huh.
It was at Easter. I thought that I ought to see if I could develop an interest.
Uh-huh.
So I said, "Oh, it's all right.
Okay.
I don't mind. I don't mind being. I wasn't a Casanova by any means. I just was, in fact, I had very few deeds.
You were cautious.
Yeah, I was cautious.
Right.
Sorry. Actually, Ralph arranged it.
Uh-huh.
Where I was to take her, I was going to take you to a football game here in town.
No, we were supposed to go to a girl bit at Easter, but.
That was afterwards.
No, that was the next day. Once we had the one day set up on a Saturday, he said, called me the night before and said, "How would you like to go to a football game?" And in all my life, I had never been to a football game. Here I was ready to graduate from college. Never been to a football game. And so our first date then was the Northville High School football game. But how we met was pretty funny. When I shook hands with him or saw him for the first time, we were in the men's room of Mr. Hill's law offices, and we were he was always coming into the other room to use the mirror when he had to go to court. You know, he'd shave a little bit or something, and the women's restroom had a mirror, and the men's room didn't. So Hallam, his secretary, and I, who were friends, acquaintances anyway, we knew each other pretty well. I was there helping her, and we were. This Father's Day, I think this was when I first met you. We didn't start dating until a while after that. The first time I met you, you walked in.
Uh-huh.
So I officially met him in a men's room. We were putting
That's
a mermaid's
cute.
Tail on the light switch or something hanging there. We were having a hard time with it. Helen and I were not real mechanically oriented.
And so he came in and helped.
He came in and showed how good he was.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
See, that was another thing that we did when we were younger. You know, we talk about the older days.
Uh-huh.
There was much more community orientation. sporting event. It just completely filled everybody. When we had a band concert, we had the whole gym filled. And I would say in the neighborhood of 500-600 people would come. And when we had basketball, you couldn't get in the place.
And it gave the team a great feeling
football,
that all these people poured
right,
out.
When you had football, the whole damn town showed
up. People of all ages.
And,
It was everybody.
It was
the place to go.
Everybody was interested.
That's right. You had an interest in the community, an interest in your kids.
Uh-huh.
You don't have that. You know, when Carl was up here in school in Foster, we'd go to some games. In fact, we went to some basketball games. They were lucky to have 150 people up there. Completely different than it was back then.
And the band concerts, sometimes when they did band concerts where the only people there were about a third of the parents.
Right. And
hardly anybody from town.
You wonder sometimes, and I'm sure the people that were there were the parents of the kids.
Yeah.
But
even
then,
the music would be tremendous. And the thought that all these people
were much better,
than we were back.
When I was young, they're much better. The athletes were better trained. The kids in the band were better musicians. But for some reason or other, there just is not a community interest.
People don't go out for stuff like that. They say, don't watch TV, watch the VCR, go riding around, I guess. But
they come home and the TV goes on.
Yeah. It's a shame because I think people miss a lot.
Even your friends that you back and forth with, you're not with them as much now.
That's right. I really think that the people themselves miss out on an awful lot.
Yes.
By not being part of the community.
They don't know what they're missing.
I don't know what it is.
Right. Now, how long did you go together?
6 months.
And then you got married.
No, we started. It was almost a year before.
Okay. And then you lived here in town.
Yeah, we got married and we moved into an apartment.
Which is gone now.
Which is gone now. It's
a parking lot.
It's a parking lot.
Across from Wishingwell Main or Star Main or the Cone.
Oh, yeah.
Almost across from.
Yeah, we lived there for a year and got enough money together to make a down payment on this house.
And then you moved here. Then your children were born here?
While
you lived here?
While we lived here, yeah.
It's the only home we've ever lived.
That's nice.
About 122 years old, this house is.
That's great. Would that be...
It was over 90 when we bought it from Marble.
Up for a historical home?
No, because we've changed it so much. We've altered it from what it was. We replaced all the windows. And we put the thermal pane windows in.
Yeah.
And we...
Made it larger, too.
I've added this room on.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't have the historic...
If it had been just the same way as it was.
Yeah, if we would have restored it, it would have been different.
Yeah.
But this was the farmhouse to the farm was here.
So this was a farm when you moved here?
Well, it was a farm when they built it.
Oh, when they built it. Okay.
And that house next door was the barn.
No kidding.
Professor
Lockwood. Oh, and they made a home out of the barn.
That's right.
Yes.
But that's been years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
As I say, this was one of the original farms. That house has been there as a house ever since I was a kid. So.
Okay, now you moved in about what year?
58. 57.
Okay. Well, now, who was some of the neighbors that lived here then around you.
Elra Ellison's lived there then and still lives here.
Still live across the street. And
my brother Charles bought the house next door.
But that was years
later. Years or so later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Old John Trumbull's house was there.
Oh, yeah. Old John, he worked in the city.
Oh, yeah.
He was a character, man. He was a collector.
Well, now, were the houses here then, too? Like there are now?
Yeah.
These were okay.
All these homes were here.
The one on the other side of Charles's house was a house that they brought from somewhere uptown. That they were,
yeah. That was one of the homes that they took out where they made parking. Directly across from our south side of Dunlap Street.
Okay.
Right next to where Edwards, Edwards
Catering
is
now.
Okay. That was that house
and
she's talking
about. It was a vacant lot there.
Right,
so
there was down on, there. That was down
on. Picture going by.
Oh!
It was
pretty exciting. They had to cut half the trees off, you know,
to get
down
it.
The street.
Oh,
it was
to
a
get
high
it.
House.
Now, when did they make this house next door out of the barn? When did they make
that?
That
had to be
many years
ago.
Maybe 100 years ago.
Oh,
Marvin
wow.
Montgomery told us that.
Oh.
We bought this house from Marvin Montgomery. She and Earl lived here for years.
Did they build this house?
No, his father, I think, was involved in somewhere. I don't know just where. But. She's the one that told us that this was the old house, and that was the barn.
I see, okay. Was the street paved when you moved here?
Yes.
Okay. Then they had most of the streets
this
in Northville paved.
They had most of them paved.
Okay.
In the
50s. Let's see. Did either one of you take part in the activities of a town? I know you did because you were on the terrace board and some other things you said here.
It's always been interesting.
Bonding
been
Authority.
Kind of a participant in a lot of communities.
Well, the Bonding Authority built Allen Terrace.
I see.
We actually, we were just a working arm of the council. And through our positions, we were authorized by them, by law, to issue bonds and issue contracts for construction purposes, and whatever the city. We served at the will of the council and did their job.
Was that vacant land? When that was built, or did they tear down something else to build that?
Well, that was part of the Eastmont Sanitarium complex. So they had two TB facilities, and one was up there. That was William H. Mayberry Sanitarium.
Now, you know, I knew the Mayberry was here, but I didn't know a thing about this other one being up here, and that was for women?
No, that was for men and women.
Why did they have two so close?
Well, this one was apparently a private one,
oh.
Whereas William H. Mayberry was the city of Detroit.
Oh, I see.
And,
okay.
Well, as a matter of fact, Leonard Bogan Titus worked up there for years. Whatever he did. But Leonard, he's still in town. In fact, he lives right down there by the Lutheran Church.
Now,
but that
they closed
whole area
that
was,
when they
was,
closed Mayberry?
You actually, I think, closed before Mayberry.
Of course,
so,
so then they took that down and built the terrace?
They had a few small buildings.
I think it had a few small buildings. I don't know what they were doing up there.
Mm-hmm.
But the city bought it, and that whole hill, actually, was called Buckner's Hill. My dad used to tell about the kids getting in bobsleds up the top of the hill and coming down that thing, down High Street, and going all the way down to the racetrack on a bobsled.
That's a long
way. That was what they used to do when they were kids in the old days.
And that means...
talking 1900,
1910. Yeah.
That means there wasn't too much in their way between there and the racetrack area.
No, that's true.
We're not many cars on the roads.
If you get out there and take a look, it's closing in fast.
Yes.
But there, if you take and go right down High Street,
uh-huh.
you could actually go right up straight up the hill, and there's a road that was up that way.
Oh.
It used to be a road.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't a big one, it was just a two-laner, a two-rut road.
Yeah.
And that's where they used to come down the hill. They had a run down that way, and they had a run going down Walnut Street, which was east off of that hill. Dad.
Your dad probably went that one.
And broke his leg. The bobsled hit a house down the bottom, and he ended up with a broken leg.
And that was a high hill, so he was going pretty fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You'd have to be going fast. You know, it was a big bobsled. They'd have maybe, six or eight kids were going on it.
Oh.
And that was, of course, back even before my time.
Now, when you came along, you couldn't do that activity.
No,
it was too built up. Okay, now when your boys came along, what were the activities they did here now?
They had so many more activities of fun.
And you had to keep up with them.
Oh, yeah.
T-ball.
T-ball, swimming, you name it.
This was provided by what, the city or by the schools or what?
Well, what was it? It was really a combination of both.
Ones. The No by Bobcats you joined, you paid to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was
swimming.
Uh-huh.
At that time.
They swam at the school?
At No by High School. At the time, they didn't have any swimming teams in Northville for little kids. And No by did. They would take you at age 5, if you could swim.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of interesting that Carl, when he joined the swimming team, was too heavy to play little old football anymore.
Uh-huh.
He was just barely 10, but he was real big for his age. But he was very strong,
mm-hmm.
he was very agile, very fast, and he was a super swimmer because he was strong and he had the lung power and the large body.
So he was on the team?
He was on the team.
Yeah, that was a recreational thing. He wasn't on the school teams.
Uh-huh.
Not at age 10.
No.
But they had a recreational team for the metropolitan area. They swam against teams like Royal Oak, Farmington Hills,
Kloss,
and some others.
Yeah.
The years that he swam there, they came in second one year, and then they won it the following year.
Yeah, they were an awesome team.
Yeah, they were good. They had some good swimmers.
They had a lot of brothers and sisters.
But there's so many more activities that they could take part in compared to
scouting.
When I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Kids were both in band, like you were. You were in band from grade 7 through 12.
What did you play?
Tuba.
Can you still play it?
I could, but I don't know how good I am. I haven't touched it since I graduated.
Oh.
Our kids both played the trumpet, and they were pretty good.
Uh-huh. Do they still play? They still have their trumpet.
Carl played in the All Metro Area Honors Jazz Ensemble.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He won the Langfield Music Award.
Oh. Wonderful.
If we ever win the lottery, he's going to be a musician.
So he really has a feel for
music.
It, yes.
Well, that's something, I felt that they should take in at least an instrument, learn how to play one.
Uh-huh.
It's something that they'll always be able to do if they decide later on that they'd like to be part of it. Group in the community where they live.
Just for their own enjoyment.
That's
either.
Right.
Right.
I think it's a wonderful thing for the schools to have music instruction because that is something that no one can ever take from you. You may forget a lot of the algebra and you may forget forget a lot of the other, but the appreciation for music, the love of music.
And to start it when you're young.
Life.
Right.
And the younger you start, the better chance you have.
Uh-huh.
The problem with music is it's always on the short end of the stick when it comes to dealing with funds.
It's always what
always.
They're about to cut. Yeah. And it's too bad, because it is one of the finer things in life.
Enriches the children's lives.
Just
so
put yourself in this position. How would you like to live without
no
music? No music at all. People don't stop to think about that.
I could do without some of the music today, but
oh,
the beautiful music, I love that. Oh, how about, can you remember any outstanding things that have happened? Or whether it was good, some big thing that was accomplished in the town, or either catastrophe, something
I remember
happened.
The day the jet plane crashed.
And was it close to
the king's backyard?
Right down here.
Oh,
something went wrong with the plane.
It was not a big passenger jet. It was like
it was a fighter jet.
There was like one pilot. He bailed out, and then the plane crashed. But you know, it was like the time of day when kids were getting out of school, and it could have been a catastrophe. It could have hit Main Street Elementary. It, you know, just missed. You know, was it within that block area?
Uh-huh. Did anybody get hurt or killed?
The Gene King's kids got burned a little bit. Nobody got killed. It's a miracle.
It is.
It crashed right down the road.
Between Maine and Katy, wasn't it?
Oh, my heavens.
Yes,
between
Maine and Katy, just east of the houses on Rogers Street. It crashed in the backyards.
And the pilot was out of it.
The pilot had ejected. He steered it in away from the city and ejected.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what happened is something happened anyway. He came back around and then drove straight into the ground. And as I say, it's a miracle because nobody got severely hurt. The King girl got burned pretty bad. The government, of course, paid all of the expenses on that.
Mm-hmm.
She had a number of operations. I to this day, I don't know whether it came out.
Her father was a police chief, I think.
Yeah,
chief
came out. And that he was in Elmo the last time, but he's dead. No, I think he died.
Oh. Okay.
What else has happened over the
years? Well, in my life, of course, the biggest impact.
How did that affect this town?
Well, I was pretty young then. I think I was probably 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell you is how it related as I saw it.
That you remember it, right.
I think it brought the people together. Everybody just pitched in. Of course, a lot of the things we did were just tried by the government to let us know that we were in a war, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that we didn't have to worry about gasoline, as I understand they were pouring it out the drain, but
you still
had
rationing.
Gas rationing, they had meat rationing, and you had sugar rationing, and everything was rationed.
Uh-huh.
I think it was done to let people know we were in a war. But by the same token, that it gave me the impression that the community was really coming together and working. And as a kid, you know, they had a big scrap metal plant. We had that parking lot in back of the school, the old grade school.
Yeah.
We had a pile of scrap metal there that was high, almost as high as the building. And went around town, everybody went around town, collected and hauled it. Then they came and loaded it up and hauled it away.
And they needed that metal
because
they had been shipping it out to Japan.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
I remember those things. And we had a medical corps. In fact, Dr. Atchison was in charge of it. My dad was a participant because he was 47 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be in the Army or Navy. He was in World War I.
Uh-huh.
And they had about four or five or six units that he used to meet with the monk and teach him how to put, give temporary first aid. Broken arms, broken legs.
You never knew what was going to happen.
You never knew. Nobody knew.
Right.
Did
you have blackouts?
I don't remember. I think we probably did. I don't think it was too common. I think they would have practice
blackouts.
Do you remember picking up foil out of cigarette packages and making a big ball of foil?
I remember that too.
But during the war, the thing that impressed me, that I left an impression on me, was the size of the Memorial Day parades. And I mean, they were big.
Did you have a lot of people from Northville go into the war?
Yeah. I don't remember the numbers, but we used to have an honor roll downtown there where they're building this new facility.
Yeah.
This new complex there, right there on the, it was a great big board. And if I remember right, we lost 12 or 13 guys in the war.
Now what happened to that board?
Oh, after the war was over, it disappeared, I guess. It was a big mammoth thing. I would say it stood up there, I'm guessing now, but I would say a story and a half high, and maybe 30 feet wide.
What did you have?
It had the names of all the guys in service. So even the women had were in service.
I wonder why they took that down.
Oh, well, it was...
Because those weren't the ones that died?
There were only... We lost only...
Yeah.
For a town our size, it was a lot.
Yeah.
We lost...
13.
I think it was 13, but I'm not sure. You can check with the VFW to verify what they didn't know.
You have a VFW... Oh, yes, right there on
the VFW post down there.
Yeah, on Northville Road.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And there were fellows there that got killed, and I knew. I think that left an impression on me.
Yes, that would.
I mean, in my earlier days, that's what I recall most significantly. Of course, that went on for 4 years now.
Yes. I was in high school.
So we were pretty conscious of all the things that were going on.
Yes. Now, when you were growing up as a boy, did they have like a streetcar or a trolley or anything in town?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah, they had what they called the inner urban. Yeah. It wasn't running when I was a boy.
It was before.
It just hasn't stopped.
It had just
but
stopped.
But the tracks were still.
Uh-huh. That was down Main Street.
Right down Main Street. Uh-huh. And during World War II, they dug them up. That was part of the scrap metal.
Oh, they used that, for the war. Yeah.
As I remember.
Uh-huh. When did they put the clock there?
The one down on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just a recent development. That probably went in
5 years ago.
78 or 79.
I think it makes the town look more unique.
It certainly does.
With the clock there, because it sort of gives it something. It's not just a little town. It makes it
special.
Yes, really.
Now that they put that in after they redeveloped and redid the
Main Street.
Uh-huh. They first had that barricade there. People were hitting it right and left. But once they put the clock on top, then you kind of
noticed
drive around.
Uh-huh.
And Once people got used to it, I don't think it was a problem, and I think everybody thought it was lovely, but at first everybody thought, you don't want a clock in the middle of the street.
Right. It looks sort of old-timey, and it sort of gives something to the town, I think.
I think we have a very unique uptown.
I do, too.
And I hope
they
continue to use it, or
mm-hmm.
they will lose it.
That's right. We've only lived here 4 years, but
you're really new.
But that's why we liked it out here. It was a town, but it was comfortable. And now it's getting so built up. since we've lived here.
That's the way it is. It's an escape thing for people living farther in.
Yes.
Pretty soon it moves out and you get yourself a whole big city right now.
Yeah.
But it's still maintains its small town.
Yes. Yeah. It has these huge shopping malls are way out around it, but it's still here. You get a different feeling. Yeah. It's nice, I think.
It's a nice community. They say we get a lot of people coming in.
It's sort of nice to go downtown and see somebody you know, right?
There aren't very many
now. Not many now.
As I say, when Dad died 5 years ago, all the old people would come out. I don't know where they came from, but I'll tell you, I saw people that I hadn't seen in 30 years.
You didn't know were still alive?
I didn't realize they were still alive.
And it was really good to see them.
It was great to see them.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I was just overwhelmed.
You know what's great? To see people walking the streets downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That is great.
Walking the dog after the 11 o'clock news,
uh-huh.
And there aren't too many areas in the world where you can
do that. No.
And feel safe about it.
But I mean, just to see people walking, it's just a nice feeling. You know, rather than look out and there's nobody on the streets.
They're all inside
yes.
bars on the windows.
Yeah.